You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
I tell you what, I don't know if we can stand another hour tonight, 3 hours. I mean, we're going to stand it, but it has been a lot of action in the first 2 hours. How much more stamina can we have? Well, we're stallions in our prime, so we can go day and night and then some. And we just may, you never know. But welcome back to the third and final of tonight's live broadcast, July 29th. Almost August, almost time for Eddie to go to Charlottesville. James Edwards, Eddie Miller in studio, the Bombardier himself with me. Busy show tonight already. What have we covered so far? So far, we were in the news again, named one of the top five architects of the alt-right. We talked to Jason Kessler, the organizer of the Unite the Right event. Coming up 2 weeks from tonight, Eddie will be there. We talked to him. Great interview in Jason's debut interview on this broadcast. He was with us during the first hour. Also talked about a speech that I gave in Arkansas a couple of days ago. Great time there. We are all over the place. Keith at American Renaissance tonight. And Keith gave us his breakdown of that event during the second hour and so much more. To kick off this third and final hour, though, we still do have Jim Lancia coming up. Jim Lancia, of course, our criminal justice correspondent. Jim spent a career as a police officer in Bridgeport, Connecticut, working the ghettos in the height of the crack epidemic. He wrote the book Downtown White Police. This guy is a man's man, and we're happy to have him on the staff, and he'll be back by popular demand tonight later on in the show. So get ready for Jim. Jim will be with us before the time runs out tonight. But Eddie, I was making mention that on the way to Arkansas, I reflected after reading this latest hit piece on us.
Oh yes.
About
yes.
Today we are villains.
Yes.
And tomorrow we will be heroes.
You know what?
We're heroes now to the people that matter, but the world will recognize us as heroes after we've done the hard work and delivered victory.
That's true. When you said that, James, it reminded me of a quote that's often credited to Mark Twain. Some people said that it was it came from a guy named Albert Bigelow Payne. But the quote goes like this. It is one of my favorite ones. It goes, "In the beginning, a patriot is a scarce man, hated and feared and scorned. But in time, when his cause succeeds, the timid join him, because then it costs nothing to be a patriot." That's one of my favorite quotes.
And that's Mark Twain, and that's a much more eloquent way of putting it than I most often say. But as we have said time and time again on this show, yes, we do believe that fundamentally most white people do agree with us on the issues, but they're too comfortable and they're not going to risk anything. They're going to leave it to the alphas to do the heavy lifting. And
that's and who when I we saved win, my venom for.
And when we win, they will have always been a true believer. When we win and it's easy to have these natural and heartfelt beliefs that we have, then everyone will say, of course, I've always felt that way. I'm with you all the way. Well, they're not with us when times are tough, and they're not with us when it might cost them something. But when it's easy for them to admit it, then they will. But that's what separates men from boys, and I'm happy to be counted among the men.
You know what, James? You and I talked about this, I think, just yesterday at dinner with Keith and the other fellow. I come up from Texas. Taylor was his name. But anyway, we talked about this. James said it, and I agree with him. We agree with each other. We don't really hate anybody, but I tell you what, I will have to say this. I do have a great amount of venom. God help me, sometimes I do hate. The cucks, the white people that will eat their own kind. Those are the ones that I absolutely despise.
People like, for instance, Russell Moore or John McCain. We actually talked about this. I mean, it's not blacks and Jews. They are trying to do what's right by them. Now, certainly, it's evil. It's malevolent. It's malicious. And we've got a clip. I think we're going to postpone that to the next segment. But at the same time, yes, that's unforgivable. But I certainly have more disdain for someone like Russell Moore or John McCain. Look at John McCain. This man is dying of aggressive, malignant brain tumor. He's going to die a painful, horrible death. And when he dies, as surely as there is a hell, he will be in hell. unless there's some miraculous deathbed conversion. But until he dies, he is apparently going to hold on to his last breath and inflict as much damage on his people and on his country as he can. But why should the last of his days be any different than how he spent his entire life? But there he was, instead of spending time with family in his last days, instead of trying to get right with his maker. No, he's flying to Washington to hurt the country and cast votes that hurt the country, like he's always done.
I bet he's probably flying in an ambulance plane. But you know what? In the word
But cuck, Satan's licking his chops because there's another soul going to be down there shortly.
What are you talking about? But you know, a conservative is too nice of a term for these people. And I think you know what? Even Judas goat is too nice.
Well, traitor. I mean, let's just call
because
it what it is.
Goat. You know, even a Judas goat that they used in real life to lead other animals to the slaughter. You know, they're worse than that because the Judas goat doesn't know what he's doing.
Well, they're trained to do
these people are Judas goats.
They make the conscience decision to do that. That's right. Well, and again, I mean, they're traitors. That's all it is. So we actually have a call from the American Renaissance Conference. We typically don't take a lot of calls, but we will take this one. Dan is live from Amarin, if I understand correctly. Dan?
Yeah. Hey, James. I'm assuming probably by now, third hour, Keith Alexander's already given his report, but I just wanted to highlight some things that have been happening here. This is my fourth American Renaissance Conference. I've been to the ones before here at Montgomeryville State Park in 2013, 14, and 15. And the one big thing I notice about this year's conference, other than, you know, the fact that we talked out of 300 people, whereas before, you know, it might be half full of 150, is there are so many, there's so many more young men here, like whether it's, you know, the millennials or Generation Z, Generation Zyklon, as it's jokingly called. And then we've also, you know, have got, a lot of, I've noticed probably four or five different men in their 30s and 40s who bought their young sons here, which is something I had never, I had never seen before. And so it's really been quite a treat to see the demographic makeup of this particular conference. I think we're attracting more young people, and moreover, I think we're attracting more guys with families, which is key to, I believe, to growing the movement. So it's been very encouraging.
Well, I appreciate you calling in. Of course, you're right. Keith has already called in and logged his report, but I'm glad that you called in to double down on that and to bring up again for as a point of emphasis the makeup of the crowd, which there are no takeaways that you can have about that other than encouraging and positive ones.
Well, you know, even Keith didn't bring up the point that men brought their sons.
No, we did not hear that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, like, you know, where I live in Michigan, James, there's this local church. It's an alienist church, so nothing like what we believe in. But it's growing, right? And, it grew, like, by 100% the last couple of years. And it's growing because that church, basically, it has a bunch of young, you know, and it's entirely white, too, young men and women married with kids in their late 20s and 30s, kind of like you and your family's age, James. And that's the kind of, when you have those kind of faces representing, whether it's your church, okay, or hopefully going forward, representing our movement, I think that's how, that's a key factor in getting more, you know, so to speak, more normies to join our cause. And I think that as we get more and more, you know, family-oriented individuals like that, more and more white Americans are going to be willing to put their face to this stuff and not be scared because they lost their job.
There's no doubt about it. There's no doubt about it. I appreciate you making that point. I've said this with Richard Spencer before, and Richard and I have been talking. I said the packaging is almost as important as the message. The presentation is almost as important as the message. You need to look sharp. You need to appear well-dressed and well-spoken. And in this case, the sizzle is almost as important as the steak. Dan, thanks for calling. We'll talk to you again later.
Every day I wake up, it's almost like a battle. It's like, well, you know, I could do this today. I could go get drunk.
I don't like beer. I'm an alcoholic because I can't, you know, stop drinking because it alters my mind, but I don't like alcohol.
And I had to keep telling myself that, you know, this is okay. Everybody does this. My whole life was just a big lie.
I can't control if I do take that drink because I'm an addict and I can't.
I admit it's messed me up.
I don't have a very good memory. I have a hard time remembering things when I learn them.
I can't concentrate on one thing for more than 5 or 10 minutes. You have fun until you hit rock bottom and it's not fun anymore.
I remember sitting in assemblies about drugs, and I thought, that's never going to happen to me. I'm never going to be like those kids. But here I am.
The choices that you make are choices you're going to have to live with.
A public service message from The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this Vigor stuff about? Well, Vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called Vigor. Would you like to improve your Vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the Vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211. And take your free Vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again. And, oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free Vigor score test today.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
All right, well, just a moment ago, before our caller Dan from American Renaissance dialed in, we were making mention that today's villains are tomorrow's heroes, and I think that's been something that's been said before. But Dan called in, and it, again, very interesting to hear about the demographics of the American Renaissance Conference. It is changing, folks. And what I was trying to get out before the break is that, yes, I mean, the message is obviously the core about what's going to eventually, you know, ultimately keep people in our ranks. But in order to get an audience, in order to be able to deliver that message, you have to have the right packaging and presentation. That is why it is so important that we dress sharp, we look good, we stay fit in mind and body. It is important. The packaging, I mean, ask anybody in marketing. You have to have a sharp presentation in order to get people to buy into your product. And we're selling a product here. We're selling the truth as much as the truth can be a product. But at the same time, it's easier to sell the truth if you have young, attractive. They don't necessarily have to be young, but you need young people as a part of it, too. It can't be all older people. You need a great cross spectrum of the populace. But we need to have good-looking people. Confidently articulating a message, and that's how it sells. That's how it's moved. But with regard to yesterday's villains being tomorrow's heroes, we've certainly seen the opposite of that. Yesterday's heroes are today's villains, and now we're waiting for it to shift again so we can be counted among the heroes. But Andrew Jackson, what a great hero! What a great president! I was driving to Arkansas for that incredible event that I spoke at a couple of days ago. I did happen to see a highway marker denoting that apparently this was supposed to be this stretch of highway was originally part of the Trail of Tears. So I look at this and I think as I'm driving past, I say, okay, so this is a brand new marker. It was new. And it's talking about the Trail of Tears. Now, what am I supposed to take away from that? What they want me to take away is guilt and shame. I should be shamed. But no, that is not what I took away from seeing that sign. That's not what I took away from seeing this sign marking at the supposed path of the Trail of Tears. I didn't feel guilt. I didn't feel shame. I felt pride. I felt pride in knowing that there was at least one time in the history of our people that we took our own side. I felt gratitude that Andrew Jackson did his duty. And
I'd like to point out something on that.
There's that.
How many times, how many places have we seen How many different Trail of Tears are there? I've been all, you know, Mississippi, Tennessee, Arkansas. Everywhere you go, this is the Trail of Tears. Well, which trail was it? Were they lost? I mean, we have a Trail of Tears up here in North Memphis, and we have halfway.
There's one on Stage Road.
Yeah.
over there by the mall. They actually, believe it or not, Andrew Jackson marched them right by the mall here in Memphis so they could stop and do some shopping because I see one in the mall parking lot.
Well, that's how the DQ got started.
Oh, man. Yeah, how about a Trail of Tears for the 50 million Americans that have been murdered by abortion butchers? I don't know.
There's a Trail of Tears out there where Sam's neck of the woods.
Yeah, he went right through Salt Lake City.
Yeah.
All right, anyway, I got to get to this. We've been meaning to get to this since the beginning of the hour. So Donald Trump spoke to the Boy Scouts. I guess everybody's heard about this. What you may not have taken away from that is that he used a very interesting choice of words. Let's play this clip.
There are many great honors that come with the job of being President of the United States. But looking out at this incredible gathering of mostly young patriots, mostly young, I'm especially proud to speak to you as the honorary president of the Boy Scouts of America. It's amazing how many Boy Scouts we have at the highest level of our great government. Many of my top advisors in the White House were Scouts. 10 members of my cabinet were Scouts. Can you believe that? 10. The Scouts believe in putting America first. You know, I go to Washington and I see all these politicians and I see the swamp and it's not a good place. In fact, today I said we ought to change it from the word swamp to the word cesspool or perhaps to the word sewer. But it's not good. Not good.
Okay, so now this is the kind of stuff that Trump would do during the campaign. He certainly has plausible deniability. It could have easily been a coincidence, don't get me wrong. But this is the kind of stuff that the media would go bonkers with last year, saying, oh, that's a wink and a nod to the racist. Well, there's no doubt. I mean, I'm not patting ourselves on the back or tooting our own horn here, but there's no doubt that Donald Trump knows who we are.
I mean,
we've been in the news with vis-a-vis Trump and certainly Donald Trump Jr. For over a year now, including another round of publicity just a few days ago. The Trump campaign had to answer about our actions on many different occasions last year, so there's no doubt the president knows about this radio program, and he knows who we are. So to go in there, literally just a couple of days after we were in the news again because of Donald Trump Jr., and to use the word cesspool to describe Washington, I just thought, well, it could be a coincidence or it could be just something to try to trigger the press. Who's to say? But I wasn't the only one who thought that. I received either way, the truth is the truth, and it is a cesspool, and that's, of course, why we chose this as our name. We are here to wade through the political cesspool and fight for our people in this sewer, as it were, or this swamp, and we're going to fight in the mud, and we're going to fight in the filth, and we're going to come out clean on the other side because we're eventually going to win. But either way, it's true. But of course, for Donald Trump to use the word cesspool after this show had been so tenuously linked so many times was interesting. And quite a few of you emailed me. I actually received a few phone calls from that saying, did you hear what Trump said? He said cesspool. And yes, I did. And maybe he meant to, and maybe he didn't. But the fact of the matter is, as Sam mentioned, he is failing to drain the cesspool, the swamp, the sewer, whatever you want to call it. He fired Reince Priebus. No tears here for me on that, but he replaced him. He fired one insider and replaced him with another, John Kelly, the former head of the Department of Homeland Security. So I don't know. I mean, of course, when Trump does something like the action he took against the transvestites or the transgendered or whatever they want to call themselves, I appreciate that. That's certainly better than Hillary. Hillary, if she was president, she would probably make sure it was only transvestites in the military and throw out all the heterosexual males. But again, to me, that is tinkering on the periphery. That is something that I appreciate, but that is not going to stop our terminal velocity right now as a nation. The wall might, and some other things might. I'm proud that Trump did that against the trannies. We don't need degenerates and filth like that in really any realm of society, much less our armed forces where morale is such an important factor. But I appreciate that. But for everything he does like that, he does something like this. You're not draining the swamp to restock it with the same old retreads. The former head of DHS, I'm probably not a good guy, Eddie.
Well, you know,
I should say about the Boy Scouts, that was an excellent speech. But as soon as the media came down, and I appreciated his speech on the Boy Scouts, that was a great speech and a great crowd. But as soon as the media said one thing negative about it, here's the leader of the Boy Scouts cucking as hard as he can, saying he apologizes for the president.
You know, and no one has been under attack more than the Boy Scouts in recent history.
And that crowd did love it.
You know, I mean, the Boy Scouts have been under attack by the homosexuals. You know, we all know that. But I'd like to point out something else that I saw that I hadn't seen anybody, I hadn't seen a president do in my lifetime. He had the Oval Office was completely full of Christian ministers.
And that's good. And we got to give him credit, too.
Yeah, they were there praying for him. They laid hands on him. And I think that, and I'm sure that's another reason why all the demons of the hell are coming after him, because, you know, for the first time, instead of having a room full of these Orthodox Jews, he has a room full of Christians, or Christian ministers in there. And that's very good. Well, listen, I hear the music coming, folks, so I guess we'll have to go to this break, and we'll come right back.
You got that right, Pappy. We'll be right back, folks.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With Liberty News this hour, I'm Dennis Daly. President Trump is continuing in his efforts to bring jobs back to the state, scoring big with a tech company, Foxconn. It will invest about $10 billion in a new plant in Wisconsin. The company makes things such as screens for iPhones and other products, but the company has faced a lot of charges of not treating its employees very well. House Speaker Paul Ryan giving the president credit for convincing the company to make a major investment in Wisconsin. The plant is expected to create numerous jobs and will boost the economy in one of the states in America's heartland. The socialist dictator of Venezuela may be living on borrowed time. The ever-growing forces of the opposition have staged a second nationwide strike in just a week. They are planning more demonstrations. In addition, the opposition National Assembly is setting in motion what it calls a parallel state by appointing judges to stand up against the dictator's judges. The dictator has responded by having three of the opposition judges arrested and by threatening others. You're listening to LibertyNewsDaily.com.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. If you want a win-win opportunity for patriots, we present a solution. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. We the people do hereby request the immediate assistance of President Trump, Congress, media outlets, and freedom organizations to defend all innocent Americans. There is no liberty with innocence in prison. Please sign our petition, thefreedomcoalition.com.
With Liberty News, I'm Dennis Daly.
I'm Michael Hill, President of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern Nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C., and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Well, back by popular demand with us tonight is the one and only Jim Lancia. Of course, Jim, no stranger to listeners of this broadcast, one of our correspondents, as I mentioned just a few minutes ago, spent a career as a police officer in Bridgeport, Connecticut, patrolling the ghetto during the height of the crack epidemic and, as you know, wrote the book, Downtown White Police, that has been much celebrated by this show and its audience. Jim, great to have you back with us tonight.
Thanks for having me, James. I appreciate it. Good to talk to you again.
Always good to talk to you. We don't talk to you enough. And since your last appearance a couple of months ago, what have been your takeaways this summer? How do you see things shaping up? I know you're going to be coming on tonight to talk about South Africa in part, but before we get to that, I just want to catch up with you since it's been a few weeks. How do you see things going in the administration, with the country, violence, Antifa? You take it anywhere you want to go, Jim.
Well, I'll tell you what, basically what I'm going to talk about is all going to kind of meld into the same thing, and we are all in the same situation. I was listening to what you guys were talking about earlier, and you guys are right. This is our republic right now is at a fragile breaking point. I'm sure you guys are aware that there is a coup being enacted right now. I mean, this is the real deal. I mean, we got to realize that with the Antifas, the Black Lives Matter, all the anti-white rhetoric, they are just trying to bully everybody into accepting what they think is going to be the inevitable. And, of course, we are going to fight that tooth and nail. But can you imagine, like you guys were talking about, Republicans like McCain? We're only in this situation because the people that we elect are usurpers. They have usurped our great republic. And this is another thing that bothers me. America has, the United States has always been a representative republic. At what point has it become a democracy? I hate the word democracy. I mean, we are not a democracy. We are a representative republic. The founding fathers loathed the idea of democracy. And yet now, for some reason, we use that word as if it's what we are now. Dangerous. And the democracies around the world are all failing. And all of the strong men and women like we have in this country, we base our liberty on who we elect, whether they're elected, rightfully, and then they just don't do what we want them to do when they're in there. They don't represent us, or they get in there by fraud. And we see it now with all the fraudulent votes. We don't even know if the people we're electing are really by the people. I'm sorry if I was wandering off there, but I want everybody to know that when you guys talk about Southern nationalism, I agree with that. I think that Southern nationalism or nationalism of anything, whether it's secession or anything else, is the only way true American law-abiding, decent Christians are ever going to have a country that they can live in and start to enjoy life in, because they have made it impossible for decent people to even enjoy life, because what we're going through right now has permeated our everyday lives, and that is not the way life should be.
You know, Jim, you make some great points there. You're talking about we're not a democracy. We never was a democracy. I've just got through reading most of a book I got from the Institute of the Constitution. The name of the book was The Evolution and the Destruction of the Original Electoral College. I don't know if people know this, the people in our audience, but at one time, in the beginning of our nation, after 1789, after we got our Constitution, that the American people, believe it or not, this may sound harsh, but the rank and file, John Doe, never even voted for the president. We never got to do that, and rightfully so, and I'll tell you why. Just like Jim said, we were never intended to be a democracy, which is a mobocracy, which is the devil's own government. Our founders, that's a quote from the founders, a democracy, the devil's own government. The original electoral college was put together, and this is how it worked. Each state, I think there was 13 of them in the beginning, would do the way they saw fit. They would appoint what's known as electors. Electors, they didn't even call it electoral college in the beginning, but each state would take the system that they preferred, and they would appoint electors. One elector for each congressman per state and one elector for each senator. Okay, now each elector would vote when they're getting ready to vote for president on a specific day. Every state had to get together and had to vote at the same day to prevent collusion amongst the electors of different states. I'm going to simplify this in just a minute. But each representative would vote for two. Get this. They would vote for two. In other words, they would nominate. They would nominate two different people for president. Okay. Then, after they nominated each person for president, these nominations would be sealed. Sealed, delivered to the government of the United States of America in Washington, D.C., and the senator, the chief of the Senate, head of the Senate, would open them in front of the Senate and the House. Okay, and then the person who was received the most nominees would be the president. The person that came in second would be the vice president. In event of a tie, then it would go to the House, and it's a more complicated representation, process. But what happened was, you see, the point I'm making is, we the people, the rank and file, never got to vote. Now, if we had that way, Jim, if it was still that way, we wouldn't even have to worry about voter fraud at the voting boxes because, you know, the illegal aliens, the people would never even get the chance to vote. It would be decided by the states, and that's the way it was intended. It wasn't democracy that way.
Here's the real problem. Even though they say it's a democracy, the will of the people, they're still not even doing it as a democracy would be, the will of the people. Everything the majority wants, which is supposedly still white Christian, is not allowed. Like, whether it's desegregation,
that's a good point.
Or how the schools are run, we don't want it that way, yet they have been elected as overlords. And it's an autocracy, and they are just saying, well, you elected me, but I'm going to tell you what we're going to do and whether you like it or not. And since how do we allow this type of government to take over a strong country like this?
Well, Jim brings up an excellent point right there in that you're right. If you go back all the way to several radical egalitarian movements ago, suffrage, so-called suffrage, so-called civil rights, et cetera, et cetera. None of that was supported by the will of the people. None of it. And all of it passed. And then, of course, things more current contemporary politics. Homosexual marriage at the time was not approved by any of these states, and still the vast majority of states would rule against it. But yet, there it is, Jim, right? The law of the land. And there are so many examples of that.
Well, also, Sam pointed out, and this is true, this was also in the book I read, the party system came in. See, in the beginning,
parties have taken away the
in the beginning, the office seeked was to go out and to seek the candidate. The candidate didn't seek the office. There were no campaigns for president. Nobody campaigned for president. We were elected. The candidates were chosen because they were the most outstanding people in society. They were great military leaders. They were great business leaders. They were mostly great church leaders. And that's how, you know, that's how we had great people like George Washington, Thomas Jefferson in the beginning. But then, like Sam mentioned, the party system came in and the parties quibbling together. They're the ones that overthrew the electoral system. And that's why we got.
Well, then, of course, since then you have the media and every other institution working in concert together. But back to you, Jim.
Yeah. Well, you're right. I mean, the party system now, you have more loyalty and then loyalty to what's best for the United States. It's democracy at bayonet point. I mean, look at the pictures of the South being desegregated. You got soldiers with bayonets pointed at white school kids who were against the desegregation. I mean, is that the way? Is that how democracy works? Is that how a representative republic works? Absolutely not. The will of the people said no. They didn't want it. But yet, military was called in, and they forced it on them. So we've been putting up with this baloney for a long time. Now, what I wanted to talk about is it's not working. Obviously, we see the EU. It's basically the EU is a federal government for Europe. Big mistake. You got the EU as autocrats sitting there. They can't even be prosecuted, and they're just governing whatever Europe. Even though Europe doesn't want this mass migration, it's happening, and nobody's fighting about it. We fight these idiotic world wars, and and die for who knows what, whatever banks we fought for, and now to protect their own soil, nobody's doing anything. We're just waiting to try to vote somebody else in. I mean, we could see by the election of Macron in France that it's not going to get any better, and who knows if he stole that election or not. We have lost the ability to say no and to do something about it. And all we do is rely on the same ridiculous system to get us out of a mess that got us in there to begin with.
That's a great point. That is a great point. And that is the definition of insanity. That is it. And, Jim, hold on right there, brother. We're going to take a break. We're going to wrap up the entire show with you in the next segment. Jim Lancia, everybody, the downtown white policeman himself. Stay tuned.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's LibertyNewsRadio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Last segment of the show, and it's all Jim Lancia's. Jim, it's your dime, your dance floor. Take the audience where you want them to go.
All right, thank you, James. Well, I'll do it quickly. As everybody knows or don't know, in my own naivete, I wrote a letter to Donald Trump, and I offered my services as a South African ambassador from the U.S., and I wrote a letter to him, a copy of my book. I've had other people try to contact him from South Africa openly and in secrecy because of the political situation there. I haven't heard anything back, but I have been assured by people in South Africa that he has gotten my message. I don't know. But what I wanted to point out there is what's happening in South Africa is happening everywhere. only, if you look at South Africa, they are an actual minority, less than 10%, and they are being overwhelmed. It will be time for them to circle the wagons, a lager. That's what they called it. They are going to have to separate from that racist, murderous ANC government with the president calling for machine gunning of the whites and no outrage from the media. And if anybody ever really knew how bad that government was and how it mistreats the whites and how it has allowed almost 100,000 white people to be killed since the end of apartheid in racially motivated torture murders, then I don't know what the world would be concerned in. I mean, we're ready to go to World War III because ISIS actually gassed a few Syrians. Yet we have innocent women and children and elderly being tortured every day in South Africa, and nobody cares. This is our fate if men do not stand up. I'm ready to stand up. I'm ready to go into that war zone. If the president is for real, he will put me there. I offered to do this for no pay whatsoever. He could use this as a political move. I need to at least be contacted. If anybody on this station has any political influence whatsoever, tweet him, write to him, just do something. I got to talk to him. I need 10 minutes to talk to him, and I would convince him of the situation. We give billions of dollars to South Africa every year. He did fire that criminal Gaspard that Obama appointed, and that was a good move. And I also mentioned that in my letter. Maybe I had something to do with that. But we give billions of dollars. None of it goes to the refugee camps and to the white people that are suffering there. Okay? A lot of it goes to soccer teams and to the corrupt government. They have racial laws that prohibit the hiring of whites, which further impoverishes them. Okay? They are not allowed refugee status in this country for some crazy reason. Why doesn't anybody ask their representative about that when we allow all these Africans and Muslims in here who want nothing to do but to destroy us? These are Christians. These are Christians with European heritage, and we won't let them in. We should be putting sanctions on the South African government right now. And if I was a South African ambassador from the U.S., I would do that. I would grant refugee status for them. I would request sanctions placed on the racist South African government until they reversed their racist policies. I would redirect the funds to the impoverished so that America would at least help the feeding and the needy. And then I would make it known worldwide through my own media that this atrocity has happened and that it has been ignored by the West. Did you know that European nations won't even take South Africans? Everybody says, well, why don't they leave? First of all, the South African dollar is worthless, so they can't afford to leave. Plus, no European country wants them. They're hell-bent on taking Muslims and blacks, and this is where we are right now. I want to be I've always been a frontline guy. I want to be in the front line. And I got to be in the front line somewhere because it's going to get ugly pretty soon, guys. And I want to be where it gets ugly because that's what I'm built for.
You know, Jim, I tell you what, I know I wish we had another 2 hours because, you know, I don't really know where to start. So, you know, I know you know Simon Rock. All right. Well, he's supposed to be here in Memphis. So he's supposed to be here at a site in Memphis to have a talk. I think it's next Sunday. He's going to be in Memphis. I think it's August the 6th. But he's coming here to talk exactly what you're talking about. And I'm going to tell you what breaks my heart, Jim. We've tried to get other white people to come to the event to listen to him talk about this, which you got through talking about, and he even gets more graphic than you did. He brought me to tears. I mean, I cried my eyes out. I mean, we're talking about 2-, 3-, 4-year-old white girls being raped to death in front of their parents. And that's not uncommon at all. And then when these black savages finish raping this 2- and 3- and 4-year-old little girls to death, then they have their way with the mother and the father. That goes on all the time.
That's what people don't understand. This is ritualistic torture, murder. They try to pass it off as a crime rate because it is the murder capital of the world. But the white South African farmer is 4 times more likely to be killed than even a regular average black in South Africa. This is ritualistic torture. It is a way to fight a war and just call it crime. And that's what they're doing. And that's how nefarious it is. And if anybody knew the true nature of the types of torture that is taking place there, then we should be up in arms. We should go to war over this. But they hide it because our media is dirty. They all know about it, but they'll never talk about it. This is genocide. It's not being sugarcoated. Now, Simon Rhodes is living it there, and he's doing a lot for his people. But as an American, all I can say is that I believe the South African white must separate from the murderous government, form their own Boer nation, and be ready to fight for it. And then they would have a lot of American friends helping them. But that's what war is all about. There's no better reason to fight a war than for the survival of your people. They will be gone soon. And the ones that aren't gone are going to be impoverished and silenced, and they're going to be completely irrelevant. And that's all they want, and that's what they want. And if you listen to the rhetoric coming from the South African government, you wouldn't believe that we would be giving billions of dollars to this murderous government. It's sickening. It's sickening beyond belief. And our government is still allowing it. So I appeal to President Trump to talk to me. I know he knows what's going on out there, but put some men out there. Put me out there, and I will make some changes. Otherwise, there has to be war. There's going to be war. I guarantee it.
You know, Jim, two quick points. Number one, you say if we could get the word out. We've been trying to get the word out here, and here's why I despise so many white people in this country. We were talking about this earlier. We try to get the word out. And you know what their main concern is? When we ask them to come to a talk like this, they say, am I going to be recorded? Will anybody know I've come to listen to a man talk? Just to come to a private home and listen to a man talk. They're afraid. They're so afraid. And like you point out, you know what? If these were blacks, if there was two or three blacks being necklaced down there in South Africa, the United States Army would probably go in there and just invade the country. But our government hates them. And here's something else scary that I've said this before. This Simon Rock that you mentioned, he said all the parallels that went on in South Africa with our white brothers and sisters being exterminated there, he says the same parallels are shaping up in this country here.
Well, and that is another reason why we wanted to have Jim on tonight. Any reason's a good reason to have Jim on, and it's always a good time to have Jim on. But with Simon being our guest next week for the full program, we're going to have a roundtable discussion. It's going to be very interesting next week with Simon, and then Eddie will be off to Charlottesville the week after that. But we wanted to have Jim be the closer for tonight's show so he could kind of set the table and set the mindset for what's going to be happening next week when we talk to Simon. And Eddie's right. I mean, yes, we do sometimes talk with people in the local community and invite them to events, and sometimes they're scared. But I will tell you this, those people will be shoved aside. Those people, those kind of people are never going to be remembered by history. No one will ever remember those names. No one will ever mourn them after they die. But the time is coming for a new age of Western man, and it is those people that are at that conference where Keith is at. It's people like Jim. It's people like us, people at our next. Those are the people who are going to shape the future, not these people who are scared to death. With somebody like us. And so we're not worried about that, because that all of that is turning around and it's taking place around us. Jim, before we run out of time, I want to give the final word to you to close this thing out. We got about 60 seconds remaining, but I certainly want you to be able to plug any website or social media, Twitter handles, etc. So please do that and then give us a final word.
All right. Well, you can check out my videos. I talk a lot about this on Downtown White Police YouTube. My book, Downtown White Police, also talks about this. But what people don't understand is you in Tennessee even know about the Shannon Christian ritualistic torture murder. But that is a speck of dust compared to the everyday. This happens all the time. It's never reported on. But if the roles were reversed, there would be race riots because of some crazy white guy doing the same thing that they would be doing. They do this all the time. If you don't follow the crime statistics like I do, I'm a former cop, so I know what crime is. This is nothing new, but they do it here in the States. The only reason why it's not as bad as it is in South Africa is because we still are somewhat of a majority, and it's hidden by the media. But it will happen here, and it'll happen a lot sooner than we think. If we do not rise up. We need men right now. Everybody else, stay out of the way.
Amen. 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 Jim Lancia, former police officer, our criminal justice correspondent. He is a man's man. Jim, we love you. Thank you. We'll talk to you again soon. Downtown White Police is the book available on Amazon, and check him out on YouTube as well. Jim Lancia, everybody. For Eddie and Keith and Sam, I'm James. We'll see you next week. God bless you, folks. No retreat, no surrender, no apologies. Bye.